This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. This verse has been chosen for us today by His Grace, Chaturatma Prabhu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Well, this time for lunch. I'll just go till dinner. Do our program. Sada idam vishvam amogalila shrijat yavat yati na sajateshmin bhutesho chantahita atmatam tara. Sachasya kasthin nupanena dhatur advaiti jantu humanishya uti namani rupani manova chobi shantan vatanapta charam ivanja. Translation. I turn that down a little bit too. It blows away. Translation, the foolish with a poor fund of knowledge cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, the names, and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama, nor can they express such things, neither in their speculation nor in their works. So, please repeat, the foolish with a poor fund of knowledge
cannot know the transcendental nature
of the forms,
names,
and activities
of the Lord,
who is playing like an actor in a drama. Nor can they express such things. Neither in their speculations.
Nor in their words.
Purport by His Divine Grace. No one can properly describe the transcendental nature of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, it is said that he is beyond the expression of mind and speech. And yet, there are some men with a poor fund of knowledge who desire to understand the Absolute Truth by imperfect mental speculation and faulty description of his activities. To the layman, his activities, appearance and disappearance, his names, his forms, his paraphernalia, his personalities, and all things in relationship with him are very mysterious. There are two classes of materialists, namely the fruited workers and the empiric philosophers. The fruited workers have practically no information of the Absolute Truth, and the mental speculators, after being frustrated in fruitive activities, turn their faces towards the Absolute Truth and try to know Him by mental speculation. And for all these men, the Absolute Truth is a mystery. As a juggler and a magician is a mystery to children, being deceived by the jugglery of the Supreme Being, the non-devotees, who may be very dexterous, I say that correctly, in fruitive work and mental speculation, are always in ignorance. With such limited knowledge, they are unable to penetrate into the mysterious region of transcendence. Mental speculators are little more progressive than the gross materialists or the fruitive actors. But because they are within the grip of illusion, they take it for granted that anything which has form, name, and activities is but a product of the material energy. For them, the Supreme Spirit is formless, nameless, and inactive. And because such mental speculators equalize the transcendental name and form of the Lord with mundane names and form, they are in fact in ignorance. With such a forefront of knowledge, there is no access to the real nature of the Supreme Being. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is always in a transcendental position, even when he is within the material world. The ignorant men consider the Lord one of the great personalities of this world, and thus they are misled by the illusory energy. Foolish with the forefront of knowledge cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, names, and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama, nor can they express such things, neither in his speculations nor in their words. Oma gyan timadandasya ginam ginasha tatsum yitam denatasma Sri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Shapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nirantishwam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Om Aum Krim Shraum Om Chat Om Tattika Hatika Keshava Dalat Padibalochana Vedradaka Nakashvarsha Vashunga Vimoshtute. I started chanting this mantra again after the boys threatened to beat me up in the airport. Oh my Lord, O transcendental lion, I offer my most respectful obeisances to you, along with Mother Lakshmi. Sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot, your mane hairs, they glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your darshan, your glance, and your shvarsh, your nails, they're both the source of auspiciousness. So, this verse, which Chaitanya has drawn out like a jewel from a treasure chest, describes the unsuccessful attempts of, I guess you could say, jnanis, because materialistic people have no opportunity to understand the absolute truth because of their being fully entangled in material activities, which leads ultimately to sinful activities. And thus one becomes covered. One engages in these materialistic and impious and sinful activities, the intelligence becomes so much covered that one can hardly understand the world around him, but to speak of God, especially Kali-yuga. Like the sages of Naimisharanya, when they realized that their Guru Maharaj had arrived on the scene in order to enlighten them in Krishna consciousness, to give them the formula for counteracting the evils of Kali-yuga, they said that we think we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just to accept you as captain of the ship, which desires to cross over the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of the men and ladies. So for the gross materialists, there's zero chance through that activity to understand God. But this verse addresses the jnanis, those who have some shumedashaha, some intelligence left. We can approach the absolute truth through our intelligence. It's a means, it's a stepping stone towards understanding God. We're meant to apply our intelligence in this matter. Krishna says that those who study my Gita, they worship me with their intelligence. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami challenges that if we apply our intelligence to this subject matter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll be very nicely surprised to realize that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that intelligence has to be directed in an authorized way by Krishna's representative. Right now, all of you are utilizing your intelligence. Your intelligence has kicked into gear, so to speak. Sometimes we're not engaging intelligence, we're just engaging the tongue. We're eating, and our intelligence may not be so active. We may be looking at something, absorbed in looking, the eyes are active, the ears are active. But when we sit and we hear like this, it's the intelligence. It's like the hard drive. You turn on your computer and your hard drive takes over. So like this is how the intelligence is meant to be utilized. Two, analyze the absolute truth from all angles of vision to become convinced. Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the absolute truth, supreme personality of Godhead. But the intelligence is a very powerful thing, just like the internet. It can be used in a wonderful way. You can go to krishna.com and surf that website for days and hours and weeks and months and years. Well, or you can surf so many nonsense things on the internet. It depends how you use it. So this is the best way to utilize the intelligence, to hear and chant about Krishna. But this verse is really directed towards those who are trying to utilize their intelligence alone without the proper direction of the Vaishnava Guru Parampara, to try to understand the absolute truth wholly and solely by my intelligence without taking higher direction. Tadvidi paripatena paripashana sevaya upadekshanti teganam karamashtadvadashana. Without the higher direction of the spiritual master, his intelligence becomes our intelligence. We see the world, chakshudam, through the eyes of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. This is how we utilize our intelligence. But otherwise, one is using the mind to understand God. Without that bona fide authorized help, he's a mental speculator. Mm-hmm. That's what he used to say in Gurukul, not me, but in Mayapur we had a Gurukul of 300 children. And the kids, they would hear these terms. You know, it's an old English phrase actually, a mental speculator. You don't hear people talking like that. Language changes very quickly. You know, people who are linguists, they have to keep up. They're forced to add new words to the dictionary. They don't like to do it. Keep the old English. The languages are always kind of evolving. The other day I was with some kids and I said, that's really far out. Some of the teenage kids said, Maharaj, are you a dinosaur? that word, that's old-fashioned. We don't say far out anymore. That's what people used to say way back in the 1960s, the hippies. Now it's awesome. I'll do my book on scratched out far out. Awesome. So now when I'm talking to young people, I don't say far out. That's like my parents used to have some words I don't even remember. I used to joke with them, wow, that's so old fashioned. To say far out. She'd like, what? What does it mean, far out? How does it relate to the particular... My mother was an intellectual. So now I don't say that bad word. I say awesome. So this word, mental speculator, of course it's a word, but it's a phrase which Prabhupada coined. His Guru Maharaj learned English by locking himself in a closet for 3 days, 72 hours, with the British dictionary. That's how he learned English. And he came out of the closet speaking perfect English, but that type of formal English that the British had in those days. So because Prabhupada was trained by his guru, it does some lingering things like that. So a mental speculator. A mental, the Gurukul voice is a speculator. You're, they get around, they, you know, because they didn't have any association with the outside world in the Gurukul and the farm. They were just always there. You know, the whole life was so wonderful. Raised on the farm with a chateau with beautiful deities and a school and a forest. So when they got mad at each other, instead of saying like bad words like kids with street language, they say, "You mental speculator." And the other kid would like break down, "Mommy, he called me a speculator. He called me a dirty word." I used to laugh. "You are a mental speculator." Actually, I didn't even know what it meant. I remember one time I was asked to give, you know, we were training the kids, so I was asked to come over and speak about morality one day to the children. So they're all sitting there, you know, 2 years old up to 8 years old, so I'm trying to explain morality. And I started speaking about the four legative principles, you know, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no speculation, mental speculation. So the kids are like, I didn't know what it really meant, you know. But they knew it was bad. So then a few days later, we went, where did we go? We went somewhere with some of the, a small group of the kids, and we went to a house program, yeah, Carmi's house. And I was in the kitchen with one of the six-year-olds or something, and, you know, I reached into the refrigerator to get some milk or something, and there was some meat in there, some hot dogs. So the little girl, she grabbed me and she said, Maharaj, look, pointing to the meat, illicit sex. They got it all mixed up. Illicit sex. We have to go. The mental speculator. So Papa speaks very strongly about one who tries to understand the truth by mental speculation. Why is that approach incomplete? Because the Lord is completely transcendental and the senses are material. Senses are limited. At best, the senses are meant for interacting with the world around us. They interact with the world around us. But as far as entering into transcendence, they're far from perfect. But even in understanding the world around us, the senses are very limited, aren't they? If you study modern science, you'll see that they've discovered so many things. I was on the plane, and there was a man next to me reading a science magazine. And I had seen a science magazine for years. I picked it up, and it was a really glossy presentation of science with, you know, beautiful photographs and charts and intelligent language. So in the back of the magazine was even a CD. They had a little cubby, puts like a CD in it. So that was the next step. He picked the CD up, put it on your computer. So what he did actually was reading, and I borrowed his magazine. He put the CD on into his computer, and he was watching it. Like, so, but even then, if you think that their intelligence has been employed to understand this world, still, how much do they really know? It's very, very limited. Well, they've gone so far into outer space, but it's a relative thing. If you consider how vast is space, they maybe have understood 1 inch of this room. And you take this universe all the way to New York City. So how much have they understood? 1 inch of this room, but beyond this room, beyond this city, beyond this state, all the way to some. Therefore, they're constantly revising their scientific theories. This is the truth, and then 5 years later, there's somebody has a different angle on it, and then this becomes the truth like this. So, and that's the gross world. What to speak of the subtle world? We know that matter consists of gross and subtle matter. There's a whole other part of science dealing with the mind, which we know means the mind, intelligence, and the false ego. This is the subtle body. So how much do they know of that? They're still groping in that way, and they haven't come. So if they're so incomplete and imperfect, because they do make mistakes quite often in this realm of study, then how will they be able to understand that which is transcendental? They're not using the right instruments. But, you know, when, if you're working, if you've got a job, part of it, it's not just the desire, it's the instruments that you're using. Nowadays, it's easier to fulfill our ambitions because we've gone beyond typewriters and we have computers. I was thinking the other day, how much more work I'm able to do because of the computer. And I got a new computer, I can do a lot more work now. I've got a, I don't know if I should say this, a Macintosh. I know the PC world, they don't like to hear that. When I walked into the Macintosh office, the Apple office, everyone was wearing t-shirts, and the t-shirt said, Above Vista. Because Vista's the new program for PCs. So I walked in, and all the Macintosh salespeople, they were wearing t-shirts that said, Above Vista. So I'm actually really good in computer, but I won't get into it because I like it. But so much can be done so much more efficiently. That's all on the subtle level. So, but still, in that subtle area, they're also just beginning to understand what is the mind and how it interacts with the body and so forth and so on. It's a whole new realm. But then sometimes they'll suddenly turn around, these philosophers, these scientists, and give a very strong statement about the soul, about God, about heaven, about the spirit. Excuse me, sir. You're still trying to become proficient in your subject matter of matter, and you have the audacity to comment on spirit? It's like a fourth grader standing up and giving a commentary on his father's PhD. The dad's reading his PhD, the fourth grader. Oh, Dad, I think that the... Excuse me, son, you're only in the fourth grade. What do you have this speaking about my PhD? So it's not within their realm to discuss. Let them, like Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam someplace, he said, let them go on with their scientific research, and one day they may come to the same conclusions. Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Swayam. Because it will all lead, everything has a cause and effect. If you follow the cause and effect all the way back, what will you come to? You'll come to God. Ishvara Panama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Nadir Adir Govinda Sarva Panama. Krishna is the supreme Ishwar, the supreme controller, the fountainhead of all existence. Aham Savasya Pavavo, Mata Sarvam Pavartate. Everything comes from me, all that is spiritual and all that is matter. So if you analyze things and come to their origin, there's so much into finding out the origin of everything. By trial and error, they may just discover, oh my God, the Hare Krishnas were right. Because some of the things they're discovering are in tune with our understanding of philosophy of creation. It's not that everything they have is contradictory to what we say. They're discovering laws. The Prabhupada says, whose laws? Laws means lawmaker. So they're discovering the law, but they don't give credit to the lawmaker. They call it Newton's law of gravity. Excuse me, sir. This is Balaram's law of gravity. Balaram, Nantashesh, is in charge of gravity. Holding it. They just got the wrong stuff. They got part of it, they got the whole message. But Prabhupada said, in time, they may get one, they'll come to the conclusion. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very profound scientific statement. All along, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was right. You want to understand the material nature and the spiritual nature and he who is behind it, we recommend you read Srimad Bhagavatam, translated by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So, but that's the long way. The best way to understand that which is spiritual is with the proper instruments, the spiritual senses. We have spiritual senses, so we have been given material senses to interact with the material world. We have spiritual senses as well, actually. That's more significant, because this particular instrument which we're using now, the material body, it's here today and gone tomorrow, but the soul is eternal. So the spirit soul, just as this body, when you speak about a body, you mean the senses of the body, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the belly, the genitals, these are the senses. So we have a spiritual body, as we know very well, and the spiritual body is composed of senses, and just as we perceive matter with material senses, you can perceive spirit through spirit senses. You just have to uncover them. They're covered now. That spirit soul is there, you could say, in a... How would you say? He's there, but like, I want to say compressed. He's there, but dormant, let us say. Sleeping! It's like someone's in a coma. He has no interaction with the world. He's in a sleeping state. But if you can wake him up from the coma, he again becomes active. They have ways now which they can wake people up from coma. It's not easy. I mean, in some cases, no. But science has gone to the point where they can wake people up, shock therapy and certain medicines. I was reading the other day that there was a girl who went to a rock concert. years ago, a rock concert, old rock band, was young rock band then, and in the middle of their last song, something happened. She had a hemorrhage of the brain, something, and she fell down and was in a comatose condition. And they took her, and she was in the hospital, and then eventually sent her home. Nothing they could do. She was in a coma for 6 years. 6 years. Nothing the doctors could do. So then out of sentiment, out of nostalgia, one day her mother said, well, my little daughter, she used to like that rock band, and that rock band was doing like a tour again in that part of the country, you know, it was in Chicago. So she took her in a wheelchair to that rock concert. You know, she's in a vegetative state. The mother's got her in the front row. And then at the last song, was the song that the band had played 6 years earlier in the same stadium thing. And they played that, in the middle of that song, the girl came too. And then, you know, and when people come out of comas, then it's not that they have to learn to speak again. They come out, they're right where they were before. And she's singing along with the rocks. And she stood up. Kind of weakened because she was late, but she stood there, and her mother was like, and then she went home, and then she never went back into the coma. So when I heard that story, I heard it from a karmic, didn't hear it from a devotee, but I tried to relate that to Krishna consciousness. That's like Krishna consciousness. You're like in a comatose condition of ignorance for like millions and millions of lives. And we hear the original sound, our band. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We come up, oh, Hare Krishna. Isn't it? It's like that. Everyone has their song. I don't want to make you think of it your way, but every couple, when they're dating and they're courting, and then there's that, our, and they play our song, sometimes in the radio, can you play the song for Billy? My husband, he just passed away. It was our song in the 60s. Right? Everyone has their song. Everyone's thinking what their song is. Better take you back. Regress you further, all the way back. They call that regression? Like, regression. But there's no hypnotic regression that can take you all the way back to when you were singing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Manjari, please hand me the flower for Krishna. But actually that is our question. That vibration, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Actually, it's the same thing. It revives that dormant, comatose state of Krishna consciousness. You come out of it, and you remember. Gradually remember, not immediately. Just like a child when it's born. When a child comes out of the womb, he's fully there, he's living, he's in this world, but it takes some time before his senses are fully active and he can begin relating to the world. Actually, they don't really consider you functional, let us say. You're not legally, you're not an adult with full-fledged senses and mind and able to take responsibility for your decisions until you're 18. 18 is the legal age. At that time they consider that the body's developed enough, the mind is mature, the intelligence is sharp. You're ready to take your decisions. It took you 18 years. So how long does it take to wake up to Krishna consciousness after coming in contact with that transcendental sound which revives the comatose condition? Well, we don't set a time limit on it. Prabhupada said, you can chant Hare Krishna purely and immediately become a... One name, Hare Krishna. You chant it sincerely from the heart without any material motivation. You could become Krishna conscious in one moment, Prabhupada said. Depends on the quality of the chanting. Or, Prabhupada, you can chant for millions of lifetimes and not reach the goal. Something will be there, but only chuchu. In Russian. Chuchu? Chuchu. Tora, Tora. There's a quality to the chanting that's required as well. But the principle's working. And then you have your spirit. And with those spiritual senses, you can perceive Krishna. So how to revive those dormant spiritual senses to be able to perceive? We're hankering for these things. To have darshan with the Lord. We go to the temple to have darshan. But we are having darshan. But because we're not so advanced, we can only remain in the presence of the Lord for a few moments and become restless and go away. Faith is not so strong. I remember Prabhupada, when he came in front of Krishna, deities, it was something phenomenal. Seeing the exchange, even though we were so new, we could see, I could perceive Prabhupada's darshan of Krishna was so much different than our darshan of Krishna. When Yogeshwara took some photos of Prabhupada doing arti to Radha Parameswara in 1973. And then when the photos were produced, he brought them back to see Prabhupada, and I was sitting next to Prabhupada. He was going over some reports with our GBC man, and Yogeshwara put the photos down. It was a nice photo of Prabhupada offering arti lamp to Krishna. And he put, and the first thing Prabhupada said, he said, "Oh, look how nicely, how mercifully Krishna's looking at me." Like he, for me, it was just like, it wasn't like Prabhupada was talking about a statue or a deity. He was just talking about Krishna. Like if you were there with your friend, "Oh, look at how my friend's looking in such a loving way." I got a very deep understanding of deity worship just from that one incident. So, we hanker to see the Lord. Premanjini Charati Bhakti Vilochanena. When this material eyes become covered with the salve of love, which is a poetic way of saying the eyes become imbued with love, which means the heart, the soul, let us say. When it's purified and the love of God is awoken, with your, then you have your spiritual senses, then you can perceive Krishna as he is. So how to awaken, be done with these material senses? I'll just kill myself. No. Then you'll be born again as a ghost and you'll be in big trouble. You won't even have a body. You'll have a subtle body with no desire, no way to fulfill your desires. You'll have to inhabit somebody. That's not what it means. We have to uncover the spiritual senses through the cleansing process of devotion, through Shravanam Bhakti. Just like we're doing now. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Tadasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atman, Vedanam. This is cleansing. You can't see the real glory when the until the tarnish is removed. Just like I got some very, very beautiful deities in Bangladesh. Oh, Purana Radha Krishna deities. So beautiful. And I gave them to Sri Gandharvika Dasi, my disciple in Mayapur. She's been polishing those deities for 3 months. And every week she sends me the photos on the internet, and they're a little bit... That proves they're old. Not that just in one polishing, they become... But she's polishing, and she kept saying, "Gurudev, I can't." You know, they brought some expert in, and he said, "Well, they're old deities. This shows they're very old." He said, "At least 300 years. So then Dhritavrata Das, the son of Dharmavabhu and his wife, Gandharvika, we married them in South India, in the land of Purusha, Parashuram Kshetra, near Udupi. They're now living there, and he's an expert on deity worship. So they're spending hours every day, very meticulously. Oh, and looking down. And now the color's coming out. So like that, we can't make just some superficial attempt at Krishna consciousness, as we said the other day. We have to work as hard to be devotees as a materialistic person works to enjoy sense gratification. Or as Rupa Goswami very poetically put it, as young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys, and this is known, with the same intensity, my Lord, let me be attracted in devotion to your lotus feet. It's just a question of changing the object. When Bhagavan Tarkula realized the futility of trying to enjoy the body of Chinnamani, he decided to put the same effort and go to Vrindavan and with the same intensity try to achieve Krishna, which he did. So we have to make the same effort. I mean, gradually, gradually Saharis winds that shine. When Prabhupada was walking across the street in London, the policeman grabbed Shyamasundara and said, "Your teacher's glowing." So those spiritual senses will become that. So through sadhana bhakti, therefore patience is required. So I have to be very patient with these ancient Bangladesh deities. It's taking so long, getting impatient. Chikanarika. Now she went on Jagadatha Swami's safari. I got angry. But now I'd read about this. He's the expert, he's the boy. So you have to become expert. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And granted, it will take time. Vasudeva Saramiti Samahatma Sudurabhava. Another way to bring forth that divine consciousness, this also Kripa, there's mercy. Just like Arjuna, he, in order to see the universal form of the Lord, he wasn't seeing it. Krishna was manifesting, but then it was there, but then Krishna said, "So now I give you divine eyes, behold this mystic form of mine." So, by mercy, he was immediately able to perceive God. One time, Vani Nayan told me the story that they were visiting one bogus yogi who claimed to be God. So the Hare Krishna devotee challenged him. "So if you're God, show your universal form to prove it." So that yogi said, "Yes, so I am doing. Can you see?" The devotee went, "No, see, it proves it." And that yogi said, "That's because I'm God, but I haven't given you the divine eyes like I did Arjuna." Gospel. So sometimes Krishna will reveal under special circumstances. It's like that Brahmana. He came to the house of Jagannath Mishra, and Nitai was there, the baby at that time, and then Brahman was invited to stay, he's cooking his meal, and you know how little Nimai would come and steal the bhog and then take it and eat it, and so because of that, the Brahman considered that every time he did that, his offering was polluted, was contaminated, because Nimai had ate it. Well, little did he know. Happened several times, and then finally, out of his causeless mercy, Nimai revealed his form as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to that Brahmin. He said, "But shh, keep it secret, because I have not decided yet to reveal my form." That came later. At Sri Vasangam, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was older, and he showed the Satbhuja form, six-armed form of personality of Godhead. But sometimes it's possible. We were in Jagannath Puri, and there's the deity of Toto Gopinath, who was discovered by who? Who discovered the Toto Gopinath deity? Who discovered Radha Govinda? Govindaji. Rupa Goswami. Who discovered Madan Mohan? Who discovered Radha Gopinath?
Madhupanda.
Who discovered Damodar? No, he didn't discover him. Rupa Goswami carved him with his hand. Imagine if your Gurudev carved the deity and said, "My dear disciple, please worship Krishna." And such. Who discovered Radha Raman? So, who was I talking about? Ah, who discovered Toto Gopinath? Lord Chaitanya. In the sand dunes of Jagannath Puri. He was there in his ecstatic, you know, he could say it like Govardhan Hill. And then he had some fun, and he dug him up with his own hands and had his devotees. Then he entrusted him to Gadadhar Pandit. It's said that that deity, which is still there in that, what is that area called? I forget the name of that area.
It's right there across the sand dunes are just across the street from the temple.
Samantabha. That whole area. Huh? Something. They built a temple, Gaudiya's built a temple there, and that deity is there, and they say that deity is very merciful to sadhakas. Sadhaka means one who's aspiring to be a devotee, struggling to be a devotee, before he becomes nishta, steady, bhav. So, for the aspiring devotee, sometimes that deity gives prema. There was one nice sadhu who lived there. What's his name? Our friend. We used to go there. He was always, he had a beautiful black, round Govardhan Shila. He passed away last year. Every time I'd go there, he'd be in his room crying, chanting, that really nice Babaji. All the time there. So, it is said that that deity is so, that deity found by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so merciful that sometimes he bestows prema upon a sadhaka. So this is very nice that one can get guru kripa, one can get Krishna kripa. But the standard process is the slow but steady wins the race. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the process. And we can hope, just like you can hope for an honorary degree. You hope for an honorary degree from university. Sometimes someone never graduated from the university, but because he becomes very proficient in a particular subject matter, he later becomes an authority on it, and he's seen as the authority, and the university is obliged to give him an honorary degree from their university to tie him in there. Whereas sometimes I think of my son, Gorshakti. He just barely finished high school and didn't go on to university, didn't get a B.A. Com, what do they call it? B.A. in Commerce. What do they call it? B.Com, sorry. You know, I.T.s and B.Coms and all that, you know, mixed up. But in India, you have the B.Com. You ask the people in India, so what are you trying to get a degree in? B.Com, I.T. So B.Com means you get a degree in business. Well, my son never got a B.Com. He just barely, by the skin of his teeth, as we say, right? Does his skin, teeth have any skin? No. By the skin of his teeth, he just got through high school, then he became a very bad boy. I don't want to tell you because he may hear this lecture and say, Pete, don't say that. But now, my son makes $1 million a year in his business. So how is it possible? Just some, he was in his blood actually. Once he got serious about life, his dad said, get serious, boy. Stop all this nonsense. Do something. But then so you could say like honorary degree. He could now he's so successful, people come to him asking for business advice. Some of his friends and his friends' friends, said in some elder persons I saw there, they come because it's just kind of his nature, and he's very friendly, and he's sharp to pick it up, and, you know, pulling up a parichute, you judge something by the result. So now people are coming and calling him for advice on this particular field that he's in, import-export, how to do that. So he's got, you know, let's say he became very, 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 very big, became a billionaire, then perhaps he would get an honorary degree. He'd get a B.Com from Delhi University. So that happens sometimes. But the idea of all this is that we don't want to wait around and hope that we just get that causeless mercy. Sometimes it happens, causeless mercy. We can hope against hope. Sometimes it happens. We just had that, what do they call it in America? The lottery. And the chances of winning the lottery, I think, were 1 in 720 million. That's your chances. But some truck driver from the East Coast, you know.
You're from Georgia.
He's from Georgia. Wow, it's appropriate to give the analogy here. He's just a truck driver. He won, after taxes, 25 million.
80
million. 80 million, yes. I mentioned something last night, and Chaitanya said, Maharaj, are you reading the internet? You took a vow you wouldn't read the internet. And I said, I cannot tell a lie. I cut down the cherry tree. I said, but I had to do it because I was looking so foolish in front of my audience. And I was giving a lecture and I was talking, giving the analogy of how Saddam Hussein has been in jail so long for his crimes. Maybe he's going to have to wait there for another 30 or 40 years. And one little kid said, Swamiji, he got hanged. I said, no, he didn't. Just a little kid. Just be quiet. I'm going on talking. Some little girl said, yes, he did. I said, all right, children, stop talking nonsense. I'm speaking here. I'm the authority. So afterwards, someone said, Maharaj, he did get hanged.
He did?
So I thought, well, oh gosh, I had to write that. Sometimes we can get it on it. This truck driver, he won $80 million. He was closer than I thought it was. But and everyone was hoping it would be them. So it does happen. It does happen. The Lord, out of His causeless mercy, He'll bestow His fullness. But the general process is slow but sure.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
But slow but steady wins the race. But how do we know we're making progress? Well, just like you're going down the authorized road. You have the map. You have the map quest. Map quest means it's a very detailed map showing you how to get there. That's Bhagavatam. It's the mercy of our Bhagavatam. Other scriptures may just draw a straight line to the goal, or a little, but MapQuest, go on MapQuest, I found that also MapQuest, every little inch of the way. So Bhagavatam gives us, Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Ta Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nibriti Syat. These are signposts along the way. What happens as you're advancing? Ado Shraddha, you get some faith by contacting the Hare Krishna movement. Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha, you feel more comfortable in the association of devotees than you do your old friends or your old habits or your old haunts. There's a transformation taking place. Oh yeah, it's happening. I'm there. But it's a long road home. Adosha Tatasa Bhajana Kriya. Want to make the next step? Bhajana Kriya. To begin becoming serious about Krishna consciousness. Practicing the rules and the regulations. That's another phrase coined by Prabhupada. Mental speculators, the rules and regulations. The rules means the do's and the regulations. To regulate something means the don'ts. So you have to accept the do's and have to. That takes some shraddha. Because your shraddha has been increased by living in association of devotees, you have the conviction that I can do it. So you begin following the rules and regulations of devotional service. And when you become fixed and you're steady and you're serious about Krishna consciousness, the spiritual master will grant you initiation. And from initiation you start taking quantum leaps, cetodhartanam marjanam. You can feel how you're not so much controlled by lust anymore, you're not so much controlled by greed, you have your anger under control, and you actually like to hear the Bhagavatam. You think, so much time. Maharaj has been speaking exactly 42 minutes, 34 seconds, and 9 millimeters of a second. But time has gone so quickly. Yeah? When you're doing something that you like, time goes very quickly. When you're doing something you don't like, time goes very slow. You're working in the office. You've been there, and you look at your watch. You got in at 9. Bored, you look at your watch, it's only 9:20. And so you make a calculation in your mind. What is 9:20 till 5 o'clock means I've got 8 hours and 40 minutes left. And then a long time goes by and you look at your watch again and it's 9:25. But in Krishna consciousness, time flies. And that's the meaning of eternity. In the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, there's no past, there's no future, it's only the present. It's like hard to grasp. How does the logical mind grasp the concept of eternity? Well, it's described like that. There's no past and there's no future. Very little, but there's only now. There's only now. It's just, you're just in the enjoying, we're so much enjoying serving Krishna. So like when you're doing something you like, then it's as if there's no time. You wish it would never stop. That's a nice definition of Krishna consciousness. You just wish it would never stop. So when we get to that point, we know we're making some advancement in Krishna consciousness. When we hanker for the right things, our hankering for the right things is stronger than our hankering for the wrong things. What is our hankering in this world? Actually, this is a very sober subject matter. Pumsha Sturiyami Tuni Bhavam Dayomrita Hridaya Krante Maho Maho Vikshapta Sitapta Vichar. Senior moment. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Based on this misconception which ties together the hearts of the man and the woman, one becomes attracted to his body, to the husband, to the wife, to the children, to the household paraphernalia. Speaking in terms of grihamayis. And to a certain degree, grihastha is because grihastha is a license for regulated sense gratification, in a sense of having some, being allowed to have some of the finer things of life and gradually becoming renounced. So this is also good. One begins to think of, in terms of I and mine, and one becomes more entangled. So what is this? This is lust, actually. The lust is nothing more than the perverted reflection of our love for Krishna. So we know we're making advancement in Krishna consciousness, and we're more attracted to Krishna than to the opposite sex, or things to do of that nature. And we're more eager when we feel, when our heart is pounding, not for things of this world, the heart is not racing to see the latest movie. Yesterday on the plane, there was this ridiculously stupid, nonsense, garbage movie about a museum. And in this museum, everything came alive. Now you're asking me why I'm talking about it in big detail. Uh-oh. No, but I was sitting in the second row, and the screen, when it came down, boing! Like, you know, my, here I am, Maharaj. The Dharidas Thakur, right? She was making poses, feminine poses. I can't do it, I'm a boy. How's that? She was making feminine postures that would bewilder even the mind of Brahma. But Haridas Thakur was like, you gotta be kidding me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this came down. This wasn't a racing movie. But because I was there, you know, and I was right in front of it, I'd look up once in a while because people around me, they were so into it. And what happened is this guy got a job, and then he was working in the museum, and at nighttime, and all the things, the dinosaurs would come alive, and the Indians would come alive, and all kinds of stuff. I missed a lot of it. So, but the people had the headphones on. All the people had their headphones on, except for me. And, you know, when anything would happen, you'd go, whoa! Oh! Ha ha ha! But they didn't have the headphones on. They didn't know the noises they were making. Just me and the stewardess. And so at one point, like, me and the stewardess looked at each other and we laughed. Because there's this, ha ha ha, from the audience, right? Or, ooh. There was so much emotion. But what was the emotion? Some mundane humor was coming like that. So I was thinking that if I could have the same emotion, if my heart could come, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Then some genuine, the Kuti Devi says, Jaima Shara Shuta Shadivira, that those who are on this path of devotional service and are proud of their birth, their noble family, and a great country, proud of their mundane education, their bodily beauty, but you watch how often when people walk past a mirror, just a window frame, and they check the reflection in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And they stop for a minute and they adjust something and walk on. Those who are part of the Vaidehi beauty, they're prasthita. She said, what? They can hardly approach you with sincere feeling. They may be part of a particular religion. When they go into the church, the mosque, the temple, the synagogue. Okay. But because of that pride in the heart, because of attachment to those things, they're doing it, but they can't approach you with sincere feeling. They're chanting. But the chanting's not from the heart. It's the words are coming, but the mind is racing also. We have to chant from the heart. Hare, I can't do it. I'm just pretending, but Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But we can know we're making advancement when those attachments are loosened a little bit, and we do take pleasure in doing what we're doing right now. Speaking the Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavatam, discussing these things, having kirtan, reading Prabhupada's book, association, taking prasad, going to Sri Vrindavan Dham, and not hesitating when we get out of the car, to fall down on the ground. We have so much faith for the dust of Vrindavan. We just roll and roll and roll in the Chittamani Dham. Then we'll know we're making a little progress. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Sisi Bhagavat Prasadam ki Gaur Premanandi. Thank you.